talking to you today for a few minutes about prayer that works. If we want to hear from God, we must believe that prayer works. Jesus said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. Jesus says, everyone who asks receives. And a lot of people ask and they don't receive immediately and they just give up. But he said, everyone who asks receives. And it's not, and I can say God has always answered my prayers. Sometimes it's been no. I was dating a blonde and I was praying for her. And God says no. And then he says, you're going to meet a brunette with brown eyes. And she's going to be your wife. And I've been happy ever since. I'm glad he didn't answer that first prayer. Amen. How many know that God knows exactly what you need and he'll meet your needs? How many want him to do it his way? And you got to factor that into your prayers, that you give him permission to answer according to his will, according to what is best for you. Jesus said, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray. In other words, you shut out all distractions and get a hold of God. Get away from that TV. Get away from that phone if you have to. Get in a private place and pray. And God will answer. But you got to pray if you want to get an answer. Jesus said, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray. What is that? That's a command. He didn't say if you feel like it. He said, do it. And you know what? That's what he did. And I'll show you that in a minute. Prayer is a big do. The Word of God says that we are to be a doer of the Word. And a big part of that do is prayer. When you pray and when you give and when you fast and when you speak to your mountain. Listen, prayer is a major do that we must do if we want to be blessed, if we want to hear from God. Prayer is a way that God communicates with God, with us. Prayer is the reason that I'm here, that Dottie and I are here. In 1980, God spoke to us to come to this city and start this church. And we prayed until we knew beyond a shadow of a doubt it was his will. And here we are 45 years later, and God has blessed us. This property is worth many millions of dollars. And it wouldn't be here if we hadn't prayed. And, buddy, I haven't stopped praying because it's been one challenge after another. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, but you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. We need to do what he said to do. And notice the promise. Do you hear the promise? And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. God rewards those who pray. And number one, I pray through to peace. So when I get through praying, at least I have peace that God's taking care of my problems. Jesus said, pray and your prayers will be rewarded. Prayer produces great power and revelation, and we need to pray. When you give, your Father rewards you. This is in the Sermon on the Mount. When you pray, your Father rewards you. When you fast, your Father rewards you. You see, there is a reward that comes with praying. And I know the devil tells people prayer doesn't do any good. But my Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. As a seminary student at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, you know, I had this crazy theory that God knows my needs and all I have to do is just live my life and God would direct my path. I don't need to pray. And I actually would say that. And looking back, I think, well, how dumb you were. Because we are commanded to pray. Ask and shall receive. Seek and shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asketh receiveth. And John 14 verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That right there is a prayer that works when you pray for a miracle because you want the Father to be glorified. When I got pain in my body, or I'm sick, I don't want to be sick. And I don't want to have pain in my body. And I don't want to have to pay the doctor bill. So I don't want to be healed for all the wrong reasons. But I want to be healed now that the Father may be glorified in the Son. How can we praise him for miracles he doesn't work? We need to ask him for miracles so that we can testify and share with everyone the great things God has done. And I've noticed that many of you here in the church, we are praying, God gives you a miracle, and you're very hesitant to share. Well, the very reason that we should want to be healed is so we can share or delivered, share what God has done for us, that he might be glorified. Somebody say amen. Verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, that I will do it. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Do you believe that? It's kind of hard to believe, isn't it? That's what he said. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, you need to ask things that line up with his will. I was praying for a blonde. He says, no, I want you to have a brunette. I was happy with that. I like brunettes. Can you say amen? I was praying about all kinds of different cities to start a church, and God said Knoxville. Can you say amen? Some people just shows up and say, well, here I am, and I'm believing God to work a miracle right here. Did God tell you to go there? Has God given you an anointing for that spot? We can pray until we're not guessing. Amen. That we know that we've heard from God. Mike's sitting right there, Michael Church. You see, how many see these signs around town and across different states now? Crawl space ninja. He had a mole business and helping people get rid of mold. He visits his woman's house. He's a praying man, and he heard some of these sermons, and so he went to this house, and this lady said, I want you to get under my house and check for mold, I guess it was. And he said, I'm not going under your house. Okay. He's afraid of possums and raccoons and snakes and I don't know what all, and spiders. I know I would have been. And so he went and sat in his truck. He's sitting there praying, and the Lord spoke to him. He said, the money's under the house. Is that right, Mike? If it had been me, I'd got me a shovel, and I got under there. I started digging, find that money. But that wasn't what he meant. And so God began to show him how to encapsulate crawl spaces. And I mean, they do a fantastic job. And it really changes the value of your house. And God showed him that, and then he showed him how to franchise it. And now this thing's all over the place. And it started with prayer. Is that right? Amen. Prayer works. And I'm talking to you about prayer that works. You have to be persistent in prayer. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, that will I do. Jesus says he will answer our prayers to glorify the Father. So we need to line our prayers up with his will. John 15, verse 7, if ye abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. This word must abide in our hearts. How do we get it in our hearts? How do you get the promise of God from your head to here? You meditate on the word of God. Jesus said, my word is spirit and life. When you meditate upon the word of God, it's going to come alive, and it's going to move from your head to your heart. It becomes a substance, an evidence, or a no-so, just like I know that God said to come and start this church, and the proof's in the pudding. Here it is, 45 years later. We certainly had our struggles, but God has worked miracle after miracle after miracle. It says, if ye abide in me, my words abide in you. If you're going to get your prayers answered, you have to have the word in you. Not just up here, in your heart. I believe in healing because God gave me a revelation on Matthew 8, 16 and 17 that Jesus healed all that came to him. As I was reading that, the Lord spoke to me, and you've heard this. Do you believe I'm still here? And I said, yes. Do you believe I'm still here to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy? I said, yes. Do you believe I'm still here to take your infirmities, your sicknesses? And I said, yes. I didn't really believe it at the moment, but I saw it. It became a revelation. Now that word is in my heart. And Isaiah's prophecy says, Truly hath borne our sickness and carried away our pains. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Until God gave me that, I couldn't preach most of the winter because I had strep throat. And when God gave me that revelation, it's in here. And just this morning, first service, I stand back there and I was having a hard time even talking. I said, Lord, I believe you're here to heal me so I can preach. And you can see my voice is as good as it gets. As good as no Adrian Rogers, but at least it's good. Can you say amen? If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Those scriptures on healing abide in me. And what did Jesus do when he was tempted? He said, it is written. It is written. It is written. He had the word hid in his heart, and he began to speak it. And then he said, devil, be gone, and the devil left. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. What does that mean? That means you have spent some time in the Bible. And in a sermon like this, God has called me to preach scriptures so that you can learn them and memorize them. Not just so you can be impressed, but so that you have the scriptures as a sword when the devil shows up. You can use the word of God as Jesus did. It is written, it is written, it is written, be gone. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Why? Because if you got the word in you, you're not going to ask contrary to the word. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You'll will his will because it's in you from the word. Prayer must always be based on the word of God. God's word produces the necessary faith to receive in prayer. Meditating on the word is where my faith comes from. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. That's the NIV. The King James says the flesh is weak, which is more accurate. And I know a lot of Christians say, well, I've been serving God for 30 years. I'm strong. I'm not going to have any problems. I'm not going to fall into temptation. You're a real candidate for failure because that's arrogance. Oh, I'm a super Christian. I'm not going to fall. Here's what Jesus said. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. The flesh is weak. I don't care who you are. You can get tripped up. He says, watch and pray. What does that mean? You can watch. You can see when the devil's coming against you. You can see when things are not going right. And what do? Worry? No, you pray. If you're a lady at work and there's handsome guys working there beside of you, you can see temptation coming. So you get somewhere and pray that off of you. Somebody say amen. Watch and pray through the victory. Don't let the devil have his way. A lot of Christians get in trouble because they're prideful and arrogant and think, I'm tough, I'm strong, I've been doing this a long time, I will not fall. Listen, the flesh is weak, and the way you stay strong is meditating on the word and praying to your Father. I've been around a long time, I'm telling you. That's the way it works. But that's the one reason so many Christians fall into sin. They're not praying. You see, prayer produces power. It produces power over demons and devils and various temptations. In Matthew 18:19, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. You see, no man is an island. We need each other. I need your prayers just as much as you need mine. And it says, if any two agree. That's one reason I felt like the Lord told me to preach this today is because he wants all of us agreeing for those 80 some odd people that send in these desperate needs and praying for all the rest of you who have needs that you didn't send in. Agreeing together that God is going to help us, work miracles in us, give us victory in our lives. Some of these requests about children and family members, we need to stand together in prayer. In agreement, Luke 5:16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places. And I told you a minute ago, Jesus practiced this. Let me ask you a question. If the Son of God needed to pray, do you need to pray? Well, why would he need to pray? He's the Son of God. He was a man. He was born of a woman just like you, and he was fully man and fully God. But as a man, it says he emptied himself of all divine rights and privileges and lived as a man. So he had to do things we have to do. And one of them is praying. Now look at this. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. I'm going slow. How many can stay to 3 o'clock? We can call McDonald's and have them to bring some hamburgers and just make a day of it. I'll be done sooner than that. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places. Say lonely. And prayed. Got all by himself and prayed. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place. Say solitary. Solitary place where he prayed. Now, I preach a series on prayer that's about six sermons. And so I felt like God just kind of put this, a summary to really build our faith, to believe God for these 80-some-odd people and all the rest of us who have special needs. Jesus practiced personal prayer very early in the morning. Say early in the morning. That's the best time. When you go out of the house, you want to be prayed up and ready for battle. Somebody say amen. And get peace. If you pray through the peace in the morning, then you just carry it all day. But you start out with peace in the morning. I can go to the bed all fired up, and somehow I leak during the night, and I get up in the morning, I'm on the wrong side of the bed. Is anybody else like me? So I try to pray that I get peace before I go out that door. Matthew 14:23. After he had sent the crowd away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. Say alone. You see, Jesus was popular with the people, but he made time to pray. He went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. So he was on that mountain praying by himself. And thank God we live close to these Smoky Mountains, because I spent a lot of time down there praying and seeking God, and God has given me a lot of great answers. When we first started the church, I had some unusual looking people show up. And you know, when you started your Full Gospel Charismatic Assembly of God Church, it's a little mystical, and so you can attract all kind of funny people. Yay. And I went up on the mountain, and actually it was the foothills down here, and I said, Lord, what in the world am I going to do with these people? And he gave me a word. He said, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. That's the same word he gave Joshua when he was facing all those people that he inherited from Moses. They were rebels. And the Lord told him, he said, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And that's still in me right now. And if somebody unusual shows up, you know, when the devil sends tares and wolves and sheep cloven into the church, not just to get the pasture, but to get the sheep. And so if I see somebody that I discern that's not right, God has promised me they'll not be able to harm us. They'll not be able to stand before us, not be able to shut us down. And so that's the word I've been standing on for 40 years probably, maybe a little longer. You can have the same word if you pray and meditate on the word of God. No man will be able to stand before me all the days of my life. That means no man will be able to hinder me or stop me. And that's important for a pastor. Okay, because you think sometimes, man, these people are going to destroy me, destroy the church. No, not here, not now, not ever. No man will ever stand before me all the days of my life. And by the way, as I'm preaching this, some of these words are going to grab you, and it becomes yours just as much as it's mine. And grab it. And if it's a scripture, memorize it. And get it in you. If my word abides in you. Jesus prayed all night. Look at this. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12. It was at that time that he went off to the mountain to pray. And he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when they came, he called, and when day came, he called his disciples to him. I folded my sermon. I got a fold right in the middle of this. It was messing me up. And when they came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he named apostles. Did you hear that? Jesus Christ prayed all night before he chose his 12 apostles. And a lot of times we in the church, we pick people and put them in leadership and never even pray, let alone pray all night. We pray here. Can you say amen? You business people, you need to pray over everybody you hire, everybody you interview. God will give you a spirit of discernment, and you can discern if they're going to be good or bad for your company, for your business. Somebody say amen. I'm waiting for an amen. Okay. Jesus prayed all night before he picked his apostles. Prayer is the main way God communicates with us, and it's the main way he communicated with his son Jesus. Jesus said, I don't do anything until I hear from the Father. Remember that? How did he hear? Why was he spending all that time in prayer? Because that's where he was communicating with the Father. He was a man. He was fully God because in spirit he was a son of God, but he had flesh like you and me. It says he emptied himself, as I said, of all divine rights and privilege and lived as a man, which means he modeled prayer for us men, for us humans, male and female. You see, because Jesus set such a good example in prayer, his disciples wanted to know how to pray. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Jesus gave them what we now call the Lord's Prayer, which is an outline for prayer. And we say, oh, that's how you pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's not all he taught. I pray that prayer probably every day is the outline. But let's see some other things he taught. So after he gave them that prayer outline, he tells us how to pray a prayer that works. Verse 5. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey. Let me know they didn't have Waggles or a convenience store, okay, to run and get a loaf of bread and some cheese and sliced ham or something. So he went next door. He says, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. Let me feel like right now you have nothing. I'm going to tell you, when you get to the bottom, you feel like you have nothing. That's the time to really pray and seek God, because God has something for you. A friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot and will not. So what he meant, I cannot rise and give to you. Verse 8, I say to you, this is Jesus preaching. I say to you, though he'll not give, or he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he'll rise and give him as many as he needs. Now there he's teaching you the prayer that works, a persistent prayer. You stay on it. You believe God. Keep praying until you get that no-so revelation in your spirit. And sometimes even after God gives you a word, you may have stand on it for years, for a long time. Abraham had a promise he's going to have Isaac, and how long did it take? 25 years. Prayer's not always instant, and even when you get an answer, it doesn't mean it's coming instantly. I say to you, though he'll not rise and give to him because he's his friend, yet because of his persistence. How many persistent people do we have in this room? But I pray until I pray through. You know why? Because the devil is the problem. It's not God. When I start praying, he brings every kind of doubt you can imagine to my head. After all these years, and after all the victories I've had, and after all the healings I've had, and all the healings I've seen here in the church, every time he comes, it's not this time, Not this time, Pastor Barry. It's not gonna happen this time. This is the time you're gonna be embarrassed. And you have to fight him off. Nancy Jenkins, she did the vacation Bible school. I taught her how to do it, but she was in charge of it, and she did all this in charge of the sign up. In the last few years we had it, we had an enrollment of over 2,000 the last several years. And she had this trailer she pulled behind a Jeep thing. It jackknifed with her out here on Middle, I think it's Middlebrook. And she wound up under the trailer, and it drug her and tore nearly all the skin off her body. It's a miracle she even lived. Her one leg was crushed to the point that when it healed, it was an inch and a half shorter than the other. When it comes to other people, you can't just get up and start prophesying. You have to hear from God. And God spoke to me, said, I'm going to grow that leg out. And like a dummy, I got up and told the whole congregation. I said, God's going to grow that leg out. And here comes the devil. You nut. You know, that leg's not going to grow out, and these people are going to know you're a false prophet. And what the devil does, he wants to get you so discouraged you cast away your faith. The Bible says, do not cast away your confidence. Do not cast away your faith. And we have to understand we live in a demonized world, and his number one thing is to get us discouraged, so we just give it. Well, I thought I heard from God. I guess I didn't, and just throw it away. But I've been around long enough, I knew better than that. And I had said before the whole church, that leg's going to grow out, and I just stood on it. And one Sunday night, a year later, that happened in 2004, 2005, I was preaching on about the same day a year later. She was sitting right over there in the corner. I said, Nancy, come up, tonight's the night. God showed me. I said, y'all pay attention. You can hear from God. You don't have to guess. She came up and sat in the chair, and some of you wonderful doubting Thomases ran up to watch. You're going to make sure that the preacher didn't pull anything. Anybody here that was there? Rosie? Anybody else? Stan Watkins? Where's Chuck Lester? He ran up too. All these doubters and unbelievers. I wanted them to. They ran up, and I set her in a chair, put her feet in my hands, and sure enough, one was about like that, shorter. And I didn't even have time to pray. I said, in the name of Jesus. And he just grew right out just like that. It was an answer to prayer. God gave me a word. I spoke it. But then I had to stand against the devil and not give up. I could have given up and not stood in faith, and that never would have happened. We are in a spiritual battle. And you have to be persistent in prayer. You have to stand in faith. This church has been here 45 years. We've had everything to be thrown at us, including the kitchen sink, twice at least. Second year we're here, our second daughter was born with a major heart condition. She had to have open heart surgery 10 weeks old. I mean, we've been hit with everything. And we just had to stand in faith, stand in faith. That daughter is now in her 40s, and she has three children. I mean, in prayer, you can win, but wimps don't win. You have to be persistent and stand in faith. And after you get a word, they'll try to discourage you that you'll give up on it. I'm not going to tell you everything I know take too long. I'm not going to tell you everything that's coming to my mind take too long. I got to move on here. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said, how much more will your Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Can y'all listen fast? Okay, I'm going to go fast. Matthew 7, 7 says, ask and keep on asking. That's what the Greek actually means. Ask and keep on asking, and it will be given you. I know there was a doctor a few years ago that says pray once and pray no more. And I understand what they meant. You can't just pray a prayer and turn around and start praying in doubt. And once you pray through, you get it from here to here, and you know right here, then you thank God and praise God. Can you say amen? You don't pray another prayer in fear and doubt because you're doubting that God's going to grow that leg out. You believe God's going to grow the leg out because you have a word on it. Can you say amen? And so you can pray out of fear and doubt. And I've done that time or two, and God rebuked me for it. But here's the truth. Ask and keep on asking, and it'll be given you. Seek and you will find. Very often, God gives me a revelation that he's done it, and I don't have it yet. But that's what it means when it says faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Like that leg growing, I had it in here. I knew that leg was going to grow out, but it took a year. Verse 8, for everyone who asks and keeps on asking receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. Jesus said, for everyone who asks and keeps on asking, they receive. Verse 11, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Who said that? Jesus said, if you being evil, human or carnal, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to you that do what? Ask. And it's not always easy. Some of you right here in this church, you've had battles been going on for years, but we don't give up. And we don't quit. And we don't accuse each other of not having faith. If you're not getting healed, it might be my lack of faith. When the little boy didn't get delivered, Jesus said, it's your fault. He's blamed it on the preachers. Just because of the littleness of your faith. How much more will your Father give good gifts to those who ask him? That's a great promise. How many of you give good things to your children? Even mafia bosses take care of their children. He says, if evil demonized people give good things to their children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to you who pray and stay persistent? Well, I prayed once and nothing happened. I quit. Quitters never win. And that applies to prayer. You can't quit. Now, Jesus said, if you believe, you receive whatever you ask for in prayer. So what is the requirement? Let me read it again. And then tell me what the requirement is. Jesus said, if you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask for in prayer. What's the requirement? Believe. I didn't say that. He said it. So now let's look at it. There's three passages that say almost the same thing. Pray and do not doubt. And God has worked miracles in my life because of these verses. Matthew 11:23. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it'll be done for him. For this reason I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it's granted you, and you will get it. Notice Jesus says, and does not doubt at all in his heart. That's the verse God gave me when I was praying for Sabrina to be healed of that heart condition. And as I was reading that, it says, if you speak to this mountain and cast it into the sea, be lifted up and thrown in the sea, and does not doubt it at all in his heart. And I was sitting out in the car after a doctor told us about that she had this heart condition. I was devastated. I couldn't even find a scripture in my Bible. I just flipped it open, and there it was. And I said, mountain of a heart condition, I cast you into the sea right now. And I felt it go down. And then I was reading the King James. It says, what things are ever desired when you pray? Believe that you receive them right here, right now, and you'll get it. I said, I believe I receive this baby healthy well right here, right now. And I saw the baby healthy and well in my arms. That's an important verse right there. And I probably quote it better every day of my life. Truly, I tell you, whoever, wait a minute, preacher. It's those apostles that all the, it's the preachers, it's the ministers. What does that say? I truly tell you, the apostles, if they say to this mountain, is that what it says? What does it say? What does it say? Would whoever raise your hand? It's not the apostles, it's not the preachers, it's any believer who will pray and believe God. But you have to have something to believe, and to build your faith, you got to spend time meditating on the Word of God. And you got a preacher who preaches the Word of God, and you hear Scripture, God's giving you a shortcut. He's giving you a scripture without you having to dig around the Bible. Take that and memorize it. And when the devil shows up, do what Jesus did. Say, it is written. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place and be done for him, for this reason. This is the Amplified Bible. For this reason I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that he's granted you, and you'll get it. You can pray until you know it's granted. Amen. I knew God had healed that baby with that heart, but we had to pursue it. We wound up having heart surgery and all that, but you pray through until you know you got the peace of God, and then you do whatever God shows you to do. Somebody say amen. Matthew chapter 21:21, this is the second one. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. How many know he normally told the truth? Always told the truth. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, say do not doubt. You see, when God shows you somebody's legs are going to grow out, don't doubt it. Stand in faith and believe till it happens. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. Verse 22, if you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask for in prayer. You see, once we have a no-so word, we can receive anything that we ask for. Once you get that word in you, we can speak to the mountain, and it will move. You see, this is the word God gave me before Tyler was born. Sabrina was born in 82. Tyler was born in 46. And Dottie was sicker with him than the other two put together. I mean, something was bad wrong. And Dev said, aha, you're going to have another major birth defect here. And I went down to the mountains and I was praying. And I had the Amplified Bible with me this time. And I flipped it open. And that's what came up. I didn't even think that it was real close to the one he gave me. For Sabrina, I didn't even notice that they were so close until years later. But I said, okay, I speak to this mountain. Whatever this sickness is, I cast it into the sea. And I felt it go down. I knew I had a miracle. I felt it right here. So I was way down in the mountains. And I drove all the way back to Knoxville, got Dottie sat down beside her on the bed, laid hands on her and prayed for her. And I knew God had healed her and the baby. Now, she had all the normal pregnancy stuff. But that terrible sickness, whatever it was, left. And he was born totally healthy and well. Y'all pay attention? This is the prayer that works. When you get into the Word and meditate until it begins to speak to you and talk to you. We can speak to the mountain and it'll move. Now listen to this. Matthew 17:18. Is the devil harassing you? You need this. And Jesus rebuked the demon and he came out of him. And the boy was cured instantly. This is the demoniac son that was being cast into the fire, into the water. And the father brought him to the disciples. And these people, these preachers, could not deliver him. Well, it was those apostles that did all the miracles. No, they couldn't do anything until they became believers. Amen. It's the believer. And Jesus said so. It's because of the littleness of your faith. Then the disciples came to Jesus after Jesus delivered the little boy. Then the disciples came to Jesus and asked him privately, why could we not drive it out? And he said, because of the littleness of your faith, because of your doubt and unbelief. And he said, this guy goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. What he's telling them is, you weren't prepared. You need to spend more time praying and meditating on the word I've been teaching you and get it in you. And then you have the faith to get people healed and delivered from demons. And he said to them, because the littleness of your faith. Now listen to this. For truly I say to you, if you have faith that is living like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, demon. He's not talking about a mountain. He's talking about this demon that possesses a little boy. He said, you can say to this demon, move from here to yonder place, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. He told the disciples, it's because you're doubting and belief, because you had little faith. You did not really believe. But if you really develop your faith and you become believers, you'll be able to work miracles. And guess what? They did. But they weren't doing it because they were apostles. They were doing it because they were believers. Amen. It's really not fair for me to have to preach and say all the amens. Jesus said we can speak to mountains and demons if we will believe and not doubt. In prayer with faith, believing, we can move mountains, cast out demons, and receive answers to our prayers. And we can stop Satan in his tracks. We can shut down demons. And we can shut down demonized people. You remember Paul and Elymas, the sorcerer? Paul was trying to win the governor to Jesus Christ, and the sorcerer, Elymas, kept interfering. And he says, buddy, today you're going to be blind. And the guy was blinded temporarily. And the governor got saved. We have authority over demons and devils and demonized people. That's why the Lord said to me, no man or woman will ever be able to stand against you and hinder you, stop you all the days of your life. Let's all stand.